Where did you see this?
That's classified.
It's what?
It's classified. I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
You like that?
Be the fifth.
I won't be undersold.
Knowing it doesn't make it true.
That's another way to think about it.
You're doing a heck of a job.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Oh, hell yeah, it is. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. Made a big TV mistake over the weekend, but then recovered with a kind of okay mistake. And if the Yankees, it turns out, sucks, doesn't that mean that the baseball Kraken are not doing that great of a job beating the Yankees? Anyway, just some random thoughts about your Mariners. AM 770 KTTH, the latest out of Mar-a-Lago Gate. And let's get you to work with the right way traffic a logo. AM 770 KTTH. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's the 15th of August, halfway through the month of August 2022. Racing headlong towards the beginning of the school year. And I know that the laminate here says start the show with witty banter. That humanizes the host by asking a producer how his weekend was. So let's do that.
Can you hear me in there?
Yes, I can. Producer Greg, how was your weekend?
A wonderful weekend. Went to a Tacoma Rainiers
game. That is an awesome story. Here's what I did. I'm sorry. I didn't see down here. It says let him finish.
Oh, sure. Yes. No, I was just going
to
say.
You went to really all the way to T-Town?
First time I've been to Cheney Stadium. Only $10 to park and an awesome baseball game. I think they won something like 8-1 versus the Las Vegas something or others. But really cool stadium and fun day at the ballpark.
I got to say, the minor league baseball gets short shrift.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rainiers, the history of the name goes back to Sixth Stadium, the guy who started Rainier Brewing. There was here in the Pacific Coast League, there was the Seattle Rainiers. They used to do really well because it was, you know, this is before Major League Baseball came out west. It certainly came to Seattle, but Cheney's a great little stadium.
Yes.
It's a fun experience.
There was an incident where the Tacoma Rainiers reindeer mascot did some streaking across the infield, which you had to shield the children's eyes to all that.
Why is the mascot a reindeer?
Everything's just, I never understood that, by the way. I never figured it out as the day progressed.
Is it because its adherents and enthusiasts used to call reindeer beer rain dogs?
You would know that better than I do. But one thing I did love about attending yesterday was things are just a little more loose at the stadium. You know what I mean? It's not as stiff upper lipped as maybe the MLB might be in some ways. It's more the casual baseball league. And so more kind of joking atmosphere or people, you know, the PA announcer speaking off the cuff sometimes, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, big time. Like the Portland Beavers used to be a really fun game to go to. The Spokane minor league team is a lot of fun.
Much heralded Spokane.
Yes. it's a lot of fun.
Okay,
It's kind of cool to see, to remember a name a couple years later, and he's up in the big leagues, and you're like, oh, wow, I saw his first at bat at AAA.
Well, yes, and with how good the Mariners are this year and how many people they've brought up and sent back down, we saw a lot of people. You know, Jared Kelnick played in that game with the Tacoma Rainiers yesterday. And like a week ago, he was hitting a home run in Yankee Stadium. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just kind of thinking about the journeys of these guys.
About that.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, the baseball Kraken go to New York, beat the Yankees 2 out of 3. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I am Mr. Mariner. Maybe this is a better team than we thought. And then the Yankees come out here to play the baseball Kraken, and they take 2 out of 3. Seattle takes two out of three.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, okay, that's it. 4 out of 6. Two-thirds of the games against the greatest team to ever take the diamond, according to people about 2 months ago when the Yankees were on fire, when they had 70 wins. They have the worst win-loss record since the All-Star game of anyone in the major leagues. Now post-All-Star game, the Yankees suck.
Yeah, they do. They just dropped 2 out of 3 to the Red Sox.
To the Red Stockings. And the Red Stockings are horrid.
Yes, they are.
They're really bad. And the Yankees, this is a storied rivalry. And the Yankees lost 2 out of 3 to the Red Sox. What does that say about the Mariners?
It's a long season is what it says. And there's many ups and downs over, what, 162 games?
Yeah.
This concept is true for card counting. I used to be a professional blackjack player. You can never judge your performance on any given night because, say, you might play 100 hands of blackjack that night. Well, the math is going to pan out after about 500 to 1,000 hands. Like, the more hands you play, the more it's an accurate depiction of what the data shows you. So in terms of a baseball team, when you have hundreds of games, you could have a streak in there where you lose, you know, 6 in a row or lose 6 out of 12. But then over the span of a season, it more accurately depicts how the merit of your team is.
Yeah, the Yankees have lost 10 out of 11.
No, they're stinking it up right now.
Oh, yeah, really, sure. Really spewing.
But how was your weekend?
All the Mariners have to do is stay behind the Astros. The Astros are going to be in the ALCS. And if the Mariners can find a way in where they don't play them in the first round in the divisional playoff, then they might have a chance. My weekend, I had a really interesting experience. I had budgeted some time to get early to a large unnamed warehouse store, big box store that doesn't advertise on TV or radio. That's and you have to have a special pass that you have to show somebody at the door to get in because it's totally low key. There's no signage, or you have to know where they are.
Tell me off air about this place.
Yeah, it's real. I'll give you a heads up on it. I'll recommend that you get a ID card. Anyway, I went to the one in Lacey because they do cheap tires. And if you're going to be there for an hour and a half anyway, you know, the baller move is to get there at 9:30. You know, as soon as they open up the door, you get your number, you know, and you're first at bat. So I go there because I want a more aggressive tread on my truck, Greg.
Okay.
A man can measure his manliness by the harmonious tone of a really knobby tire at the posted speed limit.
Yeah, and it's not compensating for
anything. And I'm currently not doing that because I don't have as much tread on the truck that I bought. And so I went in to the guy and I looked him in the eye and I said, I want an aggressive tread for this vehicle right here on these rims. I need, you know, 265 R17, you know, whatever.
And
we go and look at him and he says, well, these here, I immediately make eye contact with the BF Goodriches. And it's a really, really great tread. And I said, I like those.
Seductive.
They like me. I like them. And he goes, well, let me put this out there. He goes, look, because you see the sign above me and it says, you know, sale on such and such tires until August 28th. And I said, yeah. And he goes, these are not on sale yet. But he said, the BFGs, which is what we insiders call BF Goodrich. He goes, the BFGs, he goes, they'll be on sale on August 29th. Do you need these tires right now? And I said, no, I just said, you know, it's a Saturday morning and I, you know, budgeted the time. I'm going to do some shopping anyway. And he goes, okay. And he goes, you could pay for those now. He goes, but they're not going to be the sale price. If you come back and it's a Monday, August 29th is Monday. He goes, if you come back, they'll be on sale. So he literally talked me out of giving his company money.
Wow.
And that's the reason I'm going to go back there on that the BFGs or a BFD.
So he was doing you a solid.
Yeah.
In the long run.
And he doesn't know me from Adam. And he went to the manager and said, correct me if I'm wrong, those are part of the next, you know, sales cycle. And he goes, yeah. You know, so they're up in at the distributor warehousing it, whatever. And he goes, yeah, come back here on the 29th. They'll be on sale. And that was such a pleasant experience.
Save yourself a reminder in the old smartphone and make sure you follow up on that. I wouldn't want you to forget.
I'm an early adopter. I used to go on this large members only company. And when we lived on Rose Hill, right out of college, right out of the Wazoo, that was like one of the first ones they ever put up was the Rose Hill, the Kirkland
signature.
I almost said the name. Whoops, that would have been OPSEC. So anyway, it was just a fun experience. I know that's a pretty low bar. Good customer service experience.
You really do like to party hard over your weekend, don't you?
Yeah, you know what ruined the weekend? Was I was really excited. I was like, wow, Amazon really kept this limited cable series, A League of Their Own, close to the vest. They must be really good. And no, it's the opposite. If they don't promote it for 6 months, it sucks. And I was wondering, well, Well, Nick Offerman is in it from Parks and Rec. You know, he was Ron Swanson, probably the greatest character, the greatest America-loving character of all time. Except Nick Offerman in real life is a complete, you know, lefty commie. And I thought, well, he's in it. How, you know, that'll be, it'll be funny. And they played like one highlight of Offerman and I'm hooked. Turns out A League of Their Own, which was a great movie.
Almost a flawless movie.
You know, it's whimsical. It's accurate. It's accurate to the era, you know, the whole thing. And the TV series is so bad. And I gave it three episodes. It's so bad. It's so woke. I mean, I don't know how you do this in the midst of World War II. In the midst of World War II, the Wrigley family puts up money for a female professional sports league. The Amazon Focus is all about how hard it is to be a suppressed, in the closet lesbian, and not only that, but America's racist, and all white men are lazy. Every single white male character in the series, and there's one or two, is an idiot, is a corrupt guy, or is totally biased and prejudiced. So, well, all the women are secretly, when the lights are off, they're living a secret life. And then there's a female black character who's the best pitcher anyone's ever seen. But sorry, no blacks are allowed in the all American, you know, women's baseball league. It's not that that's not woke enough. That's not checking the box enough for her. At the end of episode two, it turns out she's a secret lesbian too. But there's there's a triple thing because she's in a church that frowns on that. At that point, you know, about 9 or 10 million of the patriarchy are busy saving the world from fascism across the ocean. Maybe a heads up about that.
No, Brian, but the real fight was going on back at home.
Man, I cannot give this up. I can't give it one star or zero stars. I have to give it, you owe me 20 stars now, Amazon.
Well, thank you for validating my decision to avoid the series like the plague, because I saw advertisements for it, and I had just shown my kids the original like a month ago. My son,
a must-see baseball movie.
Yes, and my son sees the poster for the new one, and this is how I know I've trained my kids well. Immediately, he goes, why are they remaking this? Wasn't the movie really good? I go, exactly, son. We will not be watching this new series. Why do we have to redo everything?
Yeah. And everything. So, you know, the
same. Make it worse, by the way.
And I mean, if you want a palate cleanser, watch Terminal List, the Chris Pratt, the thing that the left hates. So there's that. All right. When we come back, okay, you're bearing the lead. If a 14-year-old was wounded in a bar shooting, I don't care about the gunplay. Why is a 14-year-old in a bar at 12:30 on a Saturday morning? That and more coming up. And what is special compartmentalized information? What is top secret SCR? When we come back, AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. Back in a second after we get you to work with the right way traffic. AM 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here. Yeah, the palate cleanser was Night Shift on Netflix.
Okay.
I gotta say, I'm a sucker for a good vampire movie or werewolf movie. And in this one, there's a union of people in L.A. and they hunt vampires who live amongst us. And so anytime you can put a handheld Gatling gun in Snoop Dogg's hands he's dressed as a cowboy is a good movie.
That's the Jamie Foxx flick, right?
Yeah. I gotta say, that was a welcome. It made me, for nearly 2 hours, forget about how I was victimized by Amazon Prime's remake of A League of Their Own. So anyway. And also, it's a pretty funny slam on unions and having to kowtow to certain rules and procedures, and it's like, yeah, but my job is killing vampires. It's like, I don't care. You didn't fill out the right form and all. It's pretty funny. Wow, where to start? I think the most earliest, CNN, and MSNBC have people on the ground in Wyoming in the same way that if you've ever had a family member taking that long, slow glide path to heaven, you know, the word gets around the family that, hey, you know, you might want to swing by, get up to Vancouver because, you know, whatever. And it's because everybody knows that, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen. But you have the luxury of time. So you can get up there and you can, you know, say your final piece, you know, and maybe be there. You know, and the whole thing. If you've ever had that, you know, it's the opposite of having a family member who seems years away from that car accident or whatever. Having someone go quickly. That's what they're in Wyoming for, is because everybody knows what's happening tomorrow. Liz Cheney's going to lose by 30 points in the primary. And then on whatever the first Monday in January of 2023, the person that Trump endorsed is going to be the congressperson from Wyoming. Wyoming is, I think, the last state with only one congressperson. When I lived in Nevada, we had two senators and one congressperson, Barbara Vukanovich. She was who I believe invented the Tyrannosaurus Rex. She was that old. But Nevada used to be a bright red state, and that's that. And then the explosion of Las Vegas, and they started registering illegal aliens to vote and all that. Wyoming is still that. Wyoming is still bright red, but it's tiny. And that's that was the old joke about Wyoming, is that there are fewer people per square mile, but its population is still very dense. Hey, thank you. Good night. I'll be here all week. But it's actually a lovely place full of smart people. So anyway, it's almost like the day before a wake. They're actually, MSNBC and CNN have people physically on the ground as if there's any other outcome possible, but they know that. And they're there because tomorrow they're gonna just declare a national day of mourning because all of a sudden they didn't love Liz Cheney a year and a half ago. 5 years ago, certainly didn't love her dad, who she's pulled out her last chance. Her Hail Mary campaign commercial is her dad. He's denouncing. He's saying, look, Donald Trump is the most un-American. I forget the verbiage, but Dick Cheney is still revered in Wyoming. And that's why she got elected, because her last name is Cheney. And she's represented Wyoming. But on this one thing, not just her impeachment vote, but now, you know, basically running the January 6th hearings, she's done. You know, that's that. So anyway, MSNBC had this guy. If you're going to send somebody there, you know, an East Coast MSNBC reporter, maybe learn something about the state or whatever. But they went live to this guy, Von Hilliard, who I've seen before. And this is the most bizarre analogy. Not only is it bizarre, but it's inaccurate. And this is what I heard driving in at 3:30 this morning.
BC News correspondent Von Hilliard. Von, what's the latest?
Yeah, good morning, Mika. You know, if you talk to folks around here, they'll tell you a story about the adventures of Lewis and Clark. As they made their way west, they came here to the Grand Tetons, which is a massive mountain range, steep, just about 5 miles from where we're standing now. And when they got to the Tetons, though, they realized that it wasn't those steep, jagged mountains that were in their way. It was the Snake River, this torrent river that took them days to figure out how to cross, and it was dangerous. And then for many ways, as Liz Cheney has focused her campaign on the idea of saving democracy and this Republican Party, it's the Wyoming voters that are in so many ways her Snake River. And ultimately here in the next...
It's poetic.
It's also inaccurate as hell. I'm yelling at the radio. It's like, you flew 4 hours to get there. You can't fly like right into Laramie or Gillette or whatever. You had to fly into Denver and then take a puddle jumper to Gillette or Teton or whatever. You had hours to discover, and he's absolutely pulling this story out of his pooper. Folks, if you've done any, I highly recommend Stephen, what's his name's Undaunted Courage. That's your gateway drug for Lewis and Clark. Then read their actual journals. If you have, then you know Lewis and Clark never set foot in Wyoming. They never set foot in what is modern-day Wyoming. They went through Montana to the through the panhandle of Nez Perce country in Idaho, and they weren't trying to cross the Snake River, you dolt. They were trying to find it so they could float down it to the Columbia River, which flows to the Pacific. It's like, that's your analogy? And the setup that folks tell him the story.
Yeah,
no, they don't.
My favorite part. Everybody tells this story.
No, they do not. Nobody in Wyoming thinks Lewis and Clark ever set foot in Wyoming.
Well, it reminds me, Brian, every Seattleite knows when John Muir looked upon the grandeur of Mount Rainier and turned to Theodore Roosevelt and quipped, "What a blessed morning." I mean, we all tell that story to our kids.
It's crap. Well, I remember when Abraham Lincoln gazed upon
Lake Washington,
the Nisqually Glacier, and said, "I deem this river the Nisqually River." No. So anyway, that's the caliber of person that MSNBC has taken to go and broadcast live. Liz Cheney's being taken off life support tomorrow, and so this is. It's such a sure thing, but they have decided to cover it as a national tragedy for America. Anyway, we'll be back right after this. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. Let's get you to work. By the way, we'll check your text or first pass at the text line 800-465-8770. And a very nice email gives me, when we come back, a recommendation for all of you. If you're going to email me, start it the way that this chap did over the weekend. Back in a second, let's get you to work with our right way traffic. AM 770 KTTH. I had by the way, Brian Suits here for your Monday morning, the 15th of August. League of Their Own, the woke League of Their Own is so bad that at 11:30 on Saturday night, I got in a text string with a friend of mine who I thought would like it too, or would watch it, also a baseball guy. And he just texted and said, "Read what you said to me." And I said, "Wow, is League of Their Own putrid. Powered through episodes 1 and 2, bored and aghast, chalked it up to the White Claw. When at part 3 this a.m., no mistake, it's terrible, not just because of the constant drumbeat of grievances about hidden lesbians, but also the grievances of the black lesbians. Triple excluded. Literally every white man's an idiot or a racist, besides the 9 million who are off saving the world. Joyless, unfunny, none of the whimsy of the movie. They cast Nick Offerman in a comedy role and managed to make him a D. That deserves its own special Emmy. By the way, not one of the baseball players is even accidentally attractive, not for nothing. So I should put that on a plaque and mail it to Amazon. But
that was better than any Siskel and Ebert review I've ever heard.
But here's the thing. Unlike Terminalist, Chris Pratt, conservative friendly, seal partisanization of the novel from Jack Carr, not his real name. I'm not calling for canceling it. I'm just saying it just wasn't good. It just wasn't accidentally good. And it was so agenda driven. It's like, how do you take that story and kill it with your agenda? Well, that's how you do it. But
it's the spirit of the age, Brian.
Oh, it's
nuts.
Let's
take everything that was once good and pure and beautiful and utterly ruin it with our woke BS.
Yeah. So I said we're going to check the early pass to check your text. And by the way, coming up, what is a skiff? And Bill Maher, again on Friday, with a very incisive, I would have to say,
take on the FBI,
take on Trump and the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I heard that.
So we'll play that here in just a second. All right. Have you seen it?
Are you loading the text? Is that what you're doing?
What? No, I'm
your inner monologue is saying stall while your computer loads.
The Bishikwa says, and speaking of werewolves and vampires, whatever happened to the book? And there you go. Grandma Pierce, he's right. I got my mascots mixed up.
Oh, someone was trying to correct me and say that
Rhubarb the reindeer.
Yes. So they were saying, no, the reindeer's mascot is the moose. Well, no, that's the Mariner moose. I thought the reindeer's mascot may have been a moose, but then the PA guy said, that's Rhubarb the reindeer down there streaking with no clothes on. And he was.
Because he's wearing an old fur suit because he's a reindeer.
Do you get it?
Rhubarb. But why a reindeer? It's not local. That's what's kind of odd. Because it sounds like Rainier.
Yeah, I think it's the alliteration that was the draw there. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, there's so much sound. Let me start with this. Over the weekend, I happen to think local news kind of buried the lead. But here was a story. There was gunplay at a bar in Soto, right across the street, I guess, from your
T-Mobile
Lumen. Yep. And so over 80 shots were fired, and it sounded a little. Of course, you get your phone now and start recording.
80 shots?
Yeah.
This is new video into our newsroom just tonight. It shows a chaotic scene that.
By the way, the video is from a source I'd never heard of before. And like 70,000 people following them, or no, 17,000 on Instagram. There's a Facebook page. The source, if you want to check out the Facebook page, is called Seattle Looks Like S.
Oh, no.
And there's a period after every word. Like on Twitter and Instagram, it's Seattle dot looks dot like dot. And then on Instagram, it's SHXT. But anyway, they had to cite the source of the video. And I'm looking up at the upper right and it says at Seattle looks like S. But they used asterisks. Back to burying the lead.
This is new video into our newsroom just tonight. It shows a chaotic scene that unfolded as 80 shots were fired at a Soto bar. This happened early Saturday morning. We also know that a 14-year-old girl was hurt in that shooting. It was part of a violent weekend. Como's Tammy Mutasa live in Seattle tonight. Tammy, people calling for an end to this gun violence. Michelle, community leaders say enough is enough. This gun violence is getting out of control, and it is time for action because so many people's lives are getting impacted. Chilling chaos playing out on the cell phone video as bullets start flying and terrified people dug for cover at a bar near T-Mobile Park. It was just after midnight Saturday. Police say a 14-year-old girl was shot in the leg and another man grazed in the head. 80 rounds were fired in the gun battle.
I'm sad and frustrated and...
Let me just state officially for the record, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Greg, but I can say this. As for me, I'm calling for an end to gun violence, too.
It's about time someone said something.
I'm taking that brave stance. Anyway, that ought to do it. All right. Did anyone catch the age of the young woman who was wounded in the bar?
14.
14.
Yeah, I...
Checks notes.
I did not frequent downtown Seattle as a 14-year-old after midnight.
12, and I mean, if you did... Did you get into any bars?
Yeah, and I couldn't find any details of where she was. I know the shooting took place in a bar, but it seems like if she wasn't there, they would have mentioned she was across the street or something. So I assume she was probably in the establishment. I don't know.
Listen, if you're in downtown Seattle late Friday night, if you don't know this now, all bets are off, right? You know, every once in a while, there's knuckleheads and have been for decades in downtown Seattle on a Friday or Saturday. I'm proud to say I used to be one of them. But I never brought a gun to a bar. That's illegal. I never brought a gun with an 80-round magazine. So it seems to me like people were like it was a two-way pistol range. And I certainly didn't do it when I was 14. And so, in the crap sandwich that happened there, and of course... You know, you should have a reasonable expectation to enjoy your adult time with other adults without the threat of gunfire. But can someone explain to me the 14-year-old part? I mean, I take a firm stance against gun violence, especially when it's directed at me. But that doesn't seem to be the hottest iron in the fire to me about this story. Just me. I think Idaho was the last state to go to the mandatory 21. Oh, it wasn't mandatory. It was just that Reagan said, raise your age to your drinking age to 21 or you don't get federal highway funds. And Idaho said, day. Okay. hey, Lewis and Clark walked through here. We'll raise our the age to 21. So anyway, odd story made more odd. Seattle police, by the way, they rounded up all the handguns from the security guys at the bar just to see if any of them had been used. But, I mean, they're licensed to possess the firearm on the premises because they're a security. But we'll see. Or not. We don't know. Finally, the catalytic converter thieves have been found. They've all been rounded up. It was a giant ring. That and more coming up. And we'll be back right after this. What is this skiff? All weekend long, no one has explained the role of the president and classified information. And I'll tell you why when we come back. AM 770 KTTH. Let's get you to work with our right-way traffic. KTTH, Brian Suits here. What's the difference between right now in Taiwan and a week and a half ago when Nancy Pelosi went? Well, it's that the president didn't announce that the congressional delegation that got to Taipei several hours ago shouldn't go. So anyway, more on that next hour. The KTTH's Jason Rance on Saturday was given video of the inside of that bar where there was a shooting, and he tweeted out, and you can clearly see a guy popping off a few rounds in this. And I don't mean drinks.
Yeah, and listeners can check this out at mynorthwest.com as well.
And this is an even better video for the big, there's a big dude, there's Meal Team 6 here, turning his cell phone on and shooting video. But again, we take you to the interior of the unnamed bar across from T-Mobile, where, early Saturday morning, where a 14-year-old was wounded. And whoever it was that gave it to KTTH's Jason Rance, they slowed it down. You can clearly see a guy shooting towards the end of the video. So they're going back and forth, and it looks like at some point this guy. But remember now, no one was killed. What, an adult self medevaced up to Harborview with a grazing wound to the head, then a 14-year-old shot in the leg. And anyway, this is I'll retweet it. Right,
it's
there.
Extremely depressing, Brian. I was reading in the Seattle Times there were at least 12 people shot in and around the Seattle area over the weekend. And the more and more those numbers trend upwards, I think of how many times we mention shootings that happen in Chicago over the weekend on conservative talk radio. And I don't like what I'm seeing in terms of we could be headed in that direction.
One dead at Cal Anderson. There's a park with a bunch of basketball courts. Cal Anderson Park on Saturday. One dead there. Not sure where that is.
Yeah, I think it's down in Renton as well.
And this is all of this is equivalent to about 10 minutes on a Friday night in Chicago, but it's still shocking in Seattle.
Well, we're not used to it here, but we're coming more and more accustomed to it in recent months and years.
Yeah. And I gotta say, I give the weekend until around 3 a.m. Monday morning. I consider that 3 or 4 a.m. Monday morning. I'm officially the end of the week. If I'm driving into work, the weekend's over. And that's usually no later than 3:20 or so in the morning. And as far as I can see right now, nobody dead in Parkland, Lakewood, or the greater Tacoma region. But Seattle, with gunplay in a bar right across the street from the baseball Kraken, and a 14-year-old in the bar getting wounded. So having a problem. Anyway, luckily, there's dozens, if not hundreds, of future Seattle police officers in the pipeline. They'll be hitting the streets and getting in their U-Hauls and moving to Idaho pretty soon as Seattle continues to hemorrhage police officers. So this is not, speaking of real estate, this isn't a great harbinger of how things go in the future. Not as bad as China. Wait till you hear about that next hour. Bill Maher may be onto something here. This is from Friday night, whatever it is, Real Politics or whatever it is with Bill Maher.
His fortune was finally falling. The big lie was finally losing momentum. DeSantis was beating him in the polls. You know who hates this more than anybody? DeSantis. DeSantis, like, I had this in the bag, and now I got to run against President Martyr. And this is saving Trump politically.
And that's what I said last week, is Merrick Garland just got Trump reelected. So not only is he running, but he's going to win. Let's see how to organize my thoughts in the next 2 minutes. I spent the weekend watching all of the, you know, anti-Trump TV and even Fox. And I was waiting for somebody to say what I've said last week. And by the way, if you want me to read your email and take it to my heart, someone listed a bunch of things that I had said as they were breaking, as they were happening. That turned out to be true. The thing that I said last Tuesday, the day after the warrant was served on Mar-a-Lago, and people started speculating about, well, what sort of classified stuff. And it got to the point where Friday morning, some idiot on MSNBC said nuclear codes, because the Washington Post had said, sources say some of the classified information had to do with nuclear something. That's all they said. And I said on Friday morning, look, the Washington Post is not accountable to anybody. They can say anything they want. Then the FBI receipt for what they had, you know, came out, and there was some top secret, special compartmentalized information, top secret SCI stuff, but it didn't say the subject matter. But the thing that I said last Tuesday wasn't said all weekend long. All weekend long, they were turning to national security expert Clint Watts or whatever, and they were saying, believe me, when you go into a facility, a SCIF facility, you know, it's the most serious. And like I said, it's when you're read in, when you get a top secret clearance, it's the most serious thing you've ever heard in your life. There's one giant asterisk that, as far as I know, this is the reason you listen to me, because I'm the only one who said it. It's that I or Clint Watts from MSNBC or E4 specialist Bradley Manning can't declassify anything. The president can declassify literally anything. He can rip the lid off the Bilderbergers or the Pentaveret, whatever, or Area 51. The president is the ultimate declassification authority. He has that power. Does Obama, Clinton, Bush, Trump, whoever, President Kardashian, they have that authority. And that's that. And no one has mentioned that. Well, but it's not the procedure. The procedure is whatever the president decides it is. When the national security sorting hat says declassify that, he can have Hermione come with a wand and do the Hogwarts frickin' declassification spell if he wants, which I think would be kind of cool. Back in a second. More on that next hour. Also, locally, the catalytic converters have all been found, rounded up, and arrested. So you can all breathe easy. And we'll be back right after this. AM 770 KTTH.